pull the trigger on it, or maybe I don't know if the room in her.
All right, I'm Tarek. I'm an addict, alcoholic. All right. So we've been describing this step process all weekend long. These first 11 steps are the prep work. You've heard me say this several times this weekend. Those first 11 steps are the preparation for the real work. And the real work's carrying this message to addicts and alcoholics who are still suffering. So having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, which is the recovery process, we carry this message to other addicts and alcoholics service, and we practice these principles in all our affairs. Unity. So you've got our three legacies, AA's three legacies, all embedded in one step, the 12th step. Now this chapter, working with others, and these back chapters, which we refer to as the lost chapters, two wives, family afterward, two employers, which happens to be a better chapter about working with others than working with others. If you really look at two employers, the questions they lay out for you in that chapter that you can work with a newcomer, and just the principles to follow when you're working with a newcomer are amazing. And of course, a vision for you, which is, you know, what will happen if you commit to this process and you watch this fellowship grow up around you. The working with others chapter is about a 12-step call, two phases, a first and a second. And it lays out a bunch of rules that you can follow. I want to share something I do with the men that approach me and ask me for help. And I may have talked about this earlier in the weekend, but if you get active in carrying this message and you have enthusiasm and you can articulate your experience in a meeting, you're going to have people walk up to you and say, "Will you help me?" And if you stay active in this process and you make amends and you develop a prayer and meditation life and you help others, you will receive gifts. You will receive a livelihood. You'll receive a family. You will receive friendships, careers, all these things that require this thing called time, which I don't know if it really exists, but let's, for argument's sake, let's say time does exist. Well, it's finite. And in some respects. And so you need to find a method in order to allocate your time. And I always sit down with the men that ask me to help them, and I get really clear on what that's going to look like. If I'm your sponsor, this is what it's going to look like. You are sure as hell not going to set the pace. Okay? And if you're not willing to work with me, I am not willing to work with you. And I have been known to fire sponsees. Because if you're not going to let me sponsor you, you're going to sponsor yourself. You're not going to work with me. That means you doing things the way you want to do them is your core problem. And you will not do that with me. And then I'm going to explain the 12 steps to you. And then I'm going to give you a certain amount of time, typically 48 to 72 hours, to review what I just discussed with you. You call me up at a specific time and say, "Look, I'm ready to go through with this program of action, this program of recovery," and then I start working with you. And my goal, this is my personal goal, it's nowhere in the big book, my goal is to get guys sponsoring in 90 days. I need to get you ready to sponsor people in 90 days. That's my goal. And I think that's a little bit lengthy of a goal. But I tend to stick to it. I take people through the work, and I get that. That's it. They're going through the work so they can work with others. That's the 12 steps, the traditions, and the concepts of service culminate into carrying this message. That's why we are all here. My hope is you attended this function this weekend so you can be a better sponsor. Or if you're close to being a sponsor, so you have more tools available to you to be a better sponsor. That's why we do everything, to help others. So I worked the 12 steps and my mental problem resolved itself. I no longer lack proportion and the ability to think straight most of the time. I get involved in the fellowship. I get around people that hold me accountable. I develop transparent dialogue and authentic communication with people around me. They know what I'm struggling with. I go to my home group. I have a job at my home group. I experience the greatest unity I've ever experienced in my life. In the body. The body is fed. The mind is fed through the recovery process in the first 11 steps. And how do I feed my spirit? I carry this message. That's how I feed my spirit. That's the three aspects of our problem: mind, body, and spirit. The three aspects of the solution I just described to you. I used to think that going back through the steps was... it was such a selfish, self-centered perspective every time I go back through the work. I'd say between years 2 and 6. Now, these past 3 years, about 3 years ago, I found myself listening to one of my heroes named Don Pritz. And he, in his talk, he says, God bless those big book people. They actually think them working the steps is the real work. And it's not. The real work in Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous is taking someone else through the steps. And so, if you're taking someone through this recovery process, their spirit is going to wake up. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's going to be painful. And we are obligated to hold their hand as they wake up in that process. You can't just wake up in the process, watch the person wake up, and then put them at arm's length. I used to be that kind of sponsor. I'm no longer that sponsor. I do spend more time cultivating a relationship with the men that I sponsor. I think it's very important. I think it's very important that they come to my house and they watch how I engage with my wife and daughter. That's part of me being a sponsor. They get to see how a recovered, sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous lives. That's part of it. I don't hide my struggles from the men I sponsor. Now, early on, when they're new and I'm taking them through the steps, I'm not going to just come and divulge everything to them. But as they stay in this work, like Brandon and I, for the first year of our sponsor-sponsee relationship, we had a very mechanical relationship, maybe almost 2 years.
Yeah, it was only if the shit was on me was I calling you.
Yeah.
And then you would ask me things like, well, when was the last time you made amends? And how's your meditation life going? It's like, I ain't fucking calling that guy again.
Yeah, I was reflecting on this with Brandon. But, you know, Brandon, he's one of my best friends now. Yes, I'm in his sponsor. And yes, he looks for guidance for me. But hell, he might as well be my sponsor now. The way we work with each other, we don't sponsor each other, but we have spiritual license with each other, and we are spiritual advisors to one another. You know, when the shit hits the fan, I've got him, I've got Carl, I've got Scott. Those are probably my three go-to guys, and that's a beautiful thing. It's all come from this working with others and where you can go with it. I watch it a lot when I observe other people, and it's like you got the sponsor, and he's got his little pack behind him running. And I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that. I think this is shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand. And it's a beautiful process. And for a while, I believe, just as important is practicing the principles in all your affairs. And for a while, I truly missed that. So my spiritual condition is based on how I've interacted with you this weekend. Have I paid attention? Have I made eye contact with you? Have I actively listened to you, or have I waited all weekend just to talk? How do my interactions at work look? I mean, is it the same thing? Am I just waiting to talk? I mean, this is all extensions of working with others, unity. All of those legacies are embedded in that 12th step. I'm hoping after this weekend you will be launched deeper into the spiritual dimensions of the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. This is really magical stuff if you take the time to put it into practical application at once. A friend of mine wrote an article, and I love it, and I want to read it to you because it's so important that we understand that the meeting is the easy part. I mean, Brandon and I got up here this weekend and we shared our experience, and it's not easy to sit up here and do this because I'll be honest with you, I'm tired. I'm emotionally drained right now, in a good way, you have gotten all of me this weekend. But the litmus test is, how am I acting at home? Okay? It does me no good to come up here this weekend and do this with you and then go home and have a tumultuous relationship and only imposing my value system on my wife and daughter all the time, or taking my mom and dad for granted, or not spending enough time with my dad. But that's not the case. I've got some really strong relationships. I've got a father right now who's battling cancer, and he and I just continue to get closer and closer through the most difficult time of his life. I've got a wife, and right now our relationship is it's doing really, really well. We've had our struggles over the years, but what marriage doesn't? It's the she's my ultimate teacher. She brings all my defects to the surface. They all come there for me to see because I spend the most time with her. That's a natural evolution to that. But do I have a sense of separation with her? No. Do I have a sense of separation with my daughter? No. But what I do realize with my daughter is I'm not spending enough time with her right now. I'm not. My wife's spending much more time with her. And then how do my relationships look with my friends and the people in my home group? So that's how I measure fit spiritual condition. And it's all an extension to some degree of working with others. I know we're talking about sponsorship, but all of this is about relationships with others. And it took me a while to wake up to this. God, Spirit of the Universe, Creator, Employer, Director, Principal. All of these and more are unexpectedly capitalized throughout the Big Book. The capitalization is a representation or signifier of a higher power. In this vein, a question of what is posed. Why is high finance capitalized on page 4? Great question. Well, quite simply, for the same reason in relative terms, the phrase high finance in all its capitalized glory signifies the greedy god who wheeled and cavorted along the ticker tape of stock worshippers. During the great crash of the 29, fortunes were disappearing, reflections on rippled water, fading like the illusions they are. The empty god of high finance failed, and as a consequence, men jumped to death from the towers. Fortunately for us, Bill was not one of these. Although he often bent his head low at the altar of money, his real master was another god, King Alcohol. Thus we learn why high finance is capitalized. Well, let's look at the record. This is where the principles comes in. Perhaps we say our god is love, and the sharing of love with our family. And maybe at certain times our actions back up this belief. Yet, when we return home in the evening, we watch television and regulate our children to play on their own on their iPads. We spend little time in present, loving attentiveness. Perhaps we say our God is found in loving care and service to others. And maybe we do have one or two sponsees. We smile at the cashiers, yet much of our time is spent in isolation. We sit and brood. And even when we are in groups, we brag and exaggerate. Perhaps we say our God is found in giving to others. And maybe we gave a dollar to a homeless woman. We gave a toy to a toyless child on Christmas. Yet we have debts and our money is spent on frivolity. Nothing, not one dime goes to charity. Maybe, just maybe at times, our actions do not line up with our words. Is this your experience? I know it's been mine from time to time. And this is all very illuminating and all very interesting. All curiosity is satisfied. However, in a certain sense, so far, all we've discussed here is of mere academic interest. And academia is not our work. Our work is practical, concrete, and action-oriented. And it goes back to asking yourself, what is the central fact of your life? What is the central fact of your life? In early recovery, it's about not shooting dope and not drinking whiskey and not smoking crack and not smoking meth and not shooting meth. I get that. That's what it was for me in early recovery. It's about much, much more now. It's about engaging God's kids, looking into your eyes and asking myself, what is looking out from behind your eyes and looking at me? Is it the same thing that's looking out from behind my eyes looking at you? And that's what connects all of us? That is one of the most grounding spiritual practices you can have when you engage someone in a conversation. What is it that's looking out from behind the eyes? It's peering out. It'll connect all of us. And that, to me, is what the spiritual path is about today. And we have these wonderful 12 steps. The 12 steps are my modality for knowing God. And I will never do anything instead of these 12 steps, but I will do so many things along with the 12 steps. And so I do dig deep into these books, and I do have a spiritual teacher outside of the 12 steps that I spend time with. And the 12 steps are the modality by which I know God. They will always be my vehicle. I love this big book, and I love all of you, and I thank you for listening to me this weekend.
So Dr. Bob, one of the founders of AA did not start until Dr. Bob got sober on June June 10th, 1935. Dr. Bob died in 1950. The little italicized part before his story in our big book says, to 1950, the year of his death, he carried AA's message to more than 5,000 alcoholic men and women. And to all these, he gave his medical services without thought of charge. Okay, so just for fun, because I like to do it, I took 5,000 divided by the 15 years that he was there, and I get 333 people per year. So he's sponsoring a new person every day and taking a month off. Sponsorship's too hard. It takes too much time. He talks about it at the end of his story. What did this man do and say that was different from what others had done or said? It must be remembered that I had read a great deal and talked to everyone who knew or thought they knew anything about the subject of alcoholism. He goes on to say, of far more importance was the fact that he was the first living human with whom I had ever talked, who knew what he was talking about in regard to alcoholism from actual experience. In other words, he talked my language. I love the story of the alcoholic who falls in the hole, addict who falls in the hole. When he's down in the hole, and this preacher comes by and says, what happened? He's like, I'm an alcoholic. I fell in the hole. And the preacher says, well, say 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers, and you'll understand what you've done wrong, and everything will be great between you and God. And he walks off, and the alcoholic's like, well, I'm still in the hole. And then this lady comes by, and you know, he's sitting there, and she's like, what happened? He's like, I'm an alcoholic. I fell in the hole. And she's like, oh, well, here's this great self-help book. You read this and you will have a completely different perspective on being in a hole. She walks off and he's like, I'm still in the hole. And then this doctor comes by and, you know, they go through the whole thing. He's like, well, you must be depressed because you're in the hole. Here's a prescription for some antidepressants that'll make you feel better about being stuck in the hole. He's still in the hole. And then this other guy comes walking by. And he says, what happened? He's like, I'm an alcoholic. I fell in this hole. And this dude jumps down in the hole with him. And he's like, what are you doing? Now we're both in the hole. And he goes, don't worry. I've been here before. I know the way out. That's what sponsorship is to me. Is I've been in the hole. Am I going to walk by the guy that's trapped in the hole and go, that sucks. I've been there before. Or am I going to get down in there and show him a way out? If you think you are an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, or have any other intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what is in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you are strong enough to beat the game alone, that is your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all, not just one day at a time, but for the whole rest of your life, and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know that we have an answer for you. It never fails. If you go about it with one half the zeal you have been in the habit of showing when you are getting another drink or drug. So these are the words of a guy that dedicated, literally dedicated, every day of his life to helping others. This is what my last week looked like from Monday to Wednesday. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, went through the morning routine, did the farm chores, did all that stuff. Met with a sponsee at 6 o'clock, went to the Monday night meeting, went to group conscious, then went to the Monday night meeting, did some fellowship afterwards, drove home, didn't do my evening review that night until 11 o'clock. Tuesday, woke up at 6 in the morning, did the morning routine, farm chores, everything else. Went and had a bunch of inspections. Had to pick up my kid from carpool, which also was hella difficult because we had more kids going, so I had to go get my wife's car, which got stuck in the mud out at the farm, so we had to call a tow truck and do all this other stuff. And all this happened. Drove carpool, went home, cooked dinner, did all this stuff, was engaged with my family. I get my kids on Tuesday nights. I don't go to any meetings. Wednesday, I had to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go catch a flight to go up to Columbus. Had certain things that had to happen before the flight. Got the flight, did my inspection, had certain things that happened in between my morning flight, my evening flight. Did all this, came, did some more inspections in the afternoon, met with two of the guys I sponsor at 5:30, went to a meeting, went home, probably got home around 10 o'clock. That's 3 days. You know what I've done Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because most of you have been here with me. I'm currently taking, I guess, four guys through the steps. I've got four kids. I've got 30 chickens. Got two pigs. Got three goats on the way. Got stuff that has to happen on a regular basis. Got a full-time job. Drive carpool on the days that I can. Like, it would be wonderful for me to just say, I don't have time for spiritual work. God, would that be easy? But you know what happens is that, much like I talked about in the 11th step, when I make myself available to do this as a way of life, time shows up. Moments happen. Things magically occur because I'm putting in the effort to engage spirit through other people. Now, you think that you can't sponsor? I think that you can't not sponsor. Okay? The book, The Lost Chapters, right? The book, the 12th step. The first step occupies, what is it, 55 pages of our big book. And then we've got, you know, 13 pages for the second step. The third and the fourth step occupy 13 pages. We've got 16 pages through steps 5 through 11. And then we have 75 pages. 75 pages devoted to working with others and practicing the principles in all our affairs. Well, if they took that amount of time to explain the first step, that's probably pretty important. And if they're going to take this many pages to describe the 12th step, God, that must be important too. Maybe even more important than understanding what the first step is. If we're just looking at sheer numbers, right? So what if maybe the steps were broken up into thirds? Most people would say steps 1 through 4 and then 5 through 8 and then 9 through 12, right? I don't know. The more that I'm here, I think the steps are broken up into thirds. 1 through 9. 10 and 11, and 12. So if you're not doing the 12th step, you're leaving a third of the program behind. You're just not. You're just not really doing this stuff. And if they take all these pages to explain to me how to act in my home, occupation, and affairs, I should probably read those pages from time to time and see how I show up. They probably shouldn't be glossed over. I've got one meeting that I go to that it seems like I used to go to. I don't go to it as often, but they read out of the 12 and 12 on a certain day of the week. For a while there, it was about once every year, somebody proposes that, or they read out of the big book one day a week too. Somebody proposes that after working with others that they restart the book over and they don't read those last chapters. About once a year somebody proposes it, it seems to always get shot down, but it's like, why do we want to just take, you know, practicing the principles in all our affairs and throw them to the side? It's real easy for me to be good in here. It's real easy for me to look good in here. You piss me off, I can just go into meditation and just, you know, meditate at you. When we're outside, I don't have to talk to you. I don't have that ability to do that with the rest of the world. So for me, I hate that we don't spend, I hate that it comes at the end and we never have enough time to talk about it, because there's so much more. There's so much more to those chapters than anybody can conceive. I go through them pretty regularly and I'm still amazed at the things that I find. There's so much in them, guys. You get to live this life in such a with such a different perspective. As I go back through the steps on that semi-annual basis and I get back to these later chapters, I understand what they mean more. As I sit across from another guy and I sponsor him through the steps and I share my experience with him and I listen to his experience and I learn that, holy crap, I thought I had that resolved, but when I'm giving advice to him in a fifth step about a different perspective, I'm sitting there listening to myself going, well, if this worked for him, why don't you do this in your life? He leaves the fifth step feeling pretty good. I leave the fifth step thinking, damn, I got a lot of work to do. Again and again and again. I had done some things to the woman that I was married to that I can't ever make right. It would harm her to know some of this information. So there's a little part of me that can't ever really heal all the way as it relates to that relationship. But what happens is the universe consistently brings guys into my life, knuckleheads that are either their wife just kicked them out, their significant other just kicked them out, their significant other's getting ready to kick them out, or they have no idea, but their significant other's getting ready to kick them out. But usually the case of the third one is I listen to them going, so you think she's going to stick with you? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're great. She has nowhere else to go. It's like, no arrogance. But so I get to work with these guys, and I get the potential to sometimes help them, sometimes not, with their relationship, and it fixes me a little bit. It fixes me around that issue that I can't quite fix. It's freeing. It's so helpful. You know, out of Bill and Bob, Bob was the guy that had this kind of spiritual connection all along. You think it's a coincidence that he was the guy that sponsored 5,000 people in 15 years? Because, see, I heard a guy early on in sobriety share that, you know, if I'm a parent and I have two kids and I give them both a little red wagon, and one of them takes that little red wagon and he kicks it to the side and says, I wanted a scooter. And then the other one gets a little red wagon and he takes that little red wagon around the neighborhood and he spreads cheer and joy to everybody that he comes in contact with. If I'm the parent, who am I going to give more stuff to? Am I going to continue to give stuff to the one that doesn't like what he has, doesn't respect it, and doesn't want anything to do with it? Or am I going to give more stuff to the guy that's actually out there helping and doing more? Enlightened self-interest. I help you, I get mine. A clogged pipe, nothing flows through. Real simple, guys. But it's coming out of me into you. More comes into me. It's just the way that the universe works. It's not a one-way street. It has to flow through. Has to flow through. The faster I give it away, the more I get back. The more I share, the more I get. And what's really weird is the more I share, the less I care that I get, because the experience of the share is worth it. A quote that I love from Marianne Williamson that sometimes the South American leader, I can't remember his name, gets credit for. It's also in a movie called Coach Carter. But it's from Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. I appreciate you guys sitting out there in those uncomfortable chairs for as long as you've done and listen to us. I appreciate the people that appear to be engaged, whether you are or you're not, because it makes me feel good that you appear like you're engaged. I appreciate the people that continue to show up, whether you were forced to or not, because it makes it feel like the flow's coming through me. It makes it feel like I'm affecting a change in the world that is worthwhile. And that's why I've had the week of busyness that I did, and I'm glad to be here. Because for me, I hope you guys got something out of it, because I know I did. So thank you for being here.